So it's the start of a new term, and so I want to sort of set the tone this morning, sort of just get us all focused. I just realized this weekend I've been really pressing into God and seeking Him, and I have a sense of urgency around this message I want to share with you, and it's about the secret place. And at the men's camp, we spoke to the guys about living either under the waterfall of the Spirit or in the boxing ring of the flesh where you get killed. And it sort of connects with that as well. It's a secret place, a place of rest, a place of power, a place where we live in and from the Spirit of God. So last weekend, I was ministering at the Bikers Church, the evening service, and it was good fun. And prayed for a lady at the end. And I'm just sharing this to share with you. There's a spirit realm, a very real spirit realm. And so I was praying for this lady, and she started to shake quite a bit. And she says she came from an alcoholic background, and she has lots of pains in her body, physical pains in her body, and it's not going away. Don't know, can't sort it out. And so as I was praying for her, the more I prayed for her, the more she started to sort of shake. And as this happened, I just felt God show me that this is a spirit of infirmity. In other words, it's the sickness she's experiencing is not actually physical. It's of spiritual nature. And so I just prayed over, and I spoke in the name of Jesus, the spirit of infirmity, go. And when I spoke it, immediately the shaking stopped and she received peace and the pain disappeared from her body. So praise God. Jesus still heals. But I think sometimes we are fighting battles and we're not even aware that it's actually spiritual. And we're fighting it in the natural. We're going to the doctors and we're asking for help. And yes, sometimes it is physical, it is natural, but sometimes it's not. And so there's a place that I believe God wants us to live in. It's called the secret place. A place where we live from a place of strength, from a place of rest. And then there's another dimension of living its flesh. It's from our own abilities. And it's a battle. It's a wrestle. And so I just know that this morning we need to get this message. It can truly define the way we live and the way we experience God. So I want to take you to a passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It's sort of our passage for the morning. And this is Jesus and Mary and Martha. And Jesus was in the house of Martha. And then let me just read that to you. Verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Welcomed him into her house. Verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" I believe this passage speaks of two types of believers. The one type of believer, represented by Mary, lives from the secret place. Then there's another type of believer called Martha, living out from outside the secret place. And there's some powerful truths revealed from this. But let me take you to the first part there. It says, Martha welcomed him into her house. Okay, does that sound familiar? Most of us here have probably at some point in our lives said, "Jesus, I need you. I'm a mess without you. Come into my house. Come and live in my house." And in a sense, that's what Martha did. He said, "Jesus, come." And now Jesus is in the house. But she's missing him completely. She's busy doing things, to such an extent where it's as if Jesus wasn't there. She missed out. And so then Jesus in the scripture says, and Martha was distracted. Say distracted. See, I have you say that so you cannot be distracted. So Martha was distracted. And so Jesus speaks to her and says, you're worried and troubled about many things. I believe this speaks of a type of believer. Martha and her and this passage speaks of so many believers who find themselves distracted. Many of us find ourselves in that same boat. We are distracted, yet we have welcomed Jesus into our homes. We have welcomed him into our lives, but we are distracted and we're missing him. And I was just want to paint you a picture. When you and I, the day we die, the Bible says we will come before God. We will stand before his throne. And some believe that our lives will be, in a sense, like will be a big video screen. And your life will be replayed to you. And so you're going to stand before the throne of God with 100 million people plus in the throne room. And they say, let's look at your life. And then there's going to replay. Sure, now that can be quite uncomfortable. I believe that many believers are going to come to the end of their lives. They're going to make heaven. They're going to go to heaven. But they're going to stand there and they're going to hear the words, you were distracted for most of your life. And you missed me. You missed out. I just felt this in my heart this week, and I felt the Holy Spirit just whisper this to my heart, that many will be shocked one day. Many will be deeply saddened when they realize that they wasted their lives. They realize the lives they could have impacted, yet they didn't. Imagine you coming to that point in your life. You're standing before God Almighty, the one who gave you life, and he replays your life, and you realize there's so little of eternal impact that happened in my life. Most of my life, I was distracted. Most of my life, I missed God opportunities. Most of the time, even when I was in church, I would sing the songs, but my heart was somewhere else. That would be sad. And so why I'm sharing this morning is so that God can help us to get out of that place of distraction so that our lives can mean something. Would you want to come to the end of your life and realize I've wasted it? No, obviously not. So Jesus spoke there and he said to Martha, and the scriptures say she was distracted, although Jesus was in the house. So imagine you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, into your home, and he was there, but you're just so distracted that you missed him. You were so busy with doing things, even Christian things, that you missed him. Let's not be part of those believers that come to the end of our lives and say, I missed it. I think this is one of the biggest battles, even in my own life. It's one of the biggest challenges to keep my heart and my mind focused on God and not to get distracted. Anything can distract us. So what distracts you? What distracted you this past week? What filled your heart or your mind this past week? What distracted you? You see, you have to see it so that we can step out of it. You see, every moment of the day is an opportunity to draw near to God or to step away. Every moment is an opportunity to turn our hearts to God or to turn our hearts away from God. So in verse 41, they'd say that Jesus answered and said to him, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. The word worried there. Basically, Jesus was saying, Martha, you are divided in your heart. You have a divided heart. That's the word worried. It means, it's from the word merizo, to divide into parts. The word suggests a distraction, a preoccupation with things causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. And so Jesus is saying, Martha, I discern your heart is divided. You're missing out. Here is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He's in your house. You're missing out. Why? Because you're worried. You're distracted. Your heart's divided. I'm trusting this morning our hearts are going to get united. I'm trusting God's going to do a miracle this morning to unite our hearts as one. You see, before you can do for the Lord, you must first come to the Lord. It's like God would say, before you do for me, come to me. Before you see, the Bible says, everything we do, we must do as unto the Lord. So even your work should be as unto the Lord. It is for God. But you can't go do it for him until you've come to him. Otherwise, you live outside of the secret place. So, one thing is needed. Matthew 5 verse 6 speaks of the secret place. You see, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, receiving his word from him. And Jesus said, this is good. Martha, you're missing it. Mary, this is good. This will not be taken away from you. This is the most precious thing. It speaks about the secret place. Matthew 5 verse 6. It says, Jesus speaking, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Ever wondered, where's God? Ever wondered, man, I would love to meet with God. Where will you find him? In the secret place. God is in the secret place. So it says, I pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God is found in the secret place. Isn't that what it's all about knowing him? Not just knowing about him? Isn't that what the heart, the core of life is, to know him? And Jesus is saying, if you want to meet with him, come into the secret place of prayer. Come into that secret place. Meet with God. And it says God who sees in secret. The most precious God moments are those moments when you close the door and you make time alone with God in that secret place. Those God moments, those God encounters. I believe our greatest victories are won in that secret place. I think I have an internal cell phone battery. I think I have a battery. I can sense when my battery levels are going down, my spiritual battery levels. And I just want to get away. I just want to go alone. I just want to go and close the door and just go sit at the feet of Jesus and enjoy him and fill up my batteries, and then I can go again. How's your battery levels? Sometimes when we have holiday, our battery levels really go out the door. The secret place. It says there, the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, when you and I go into that secret place of prayer, of spending time with God, praying for his will to be done in this earth, it says God sees and God rewards. And he says he will reward openly. In other words, those people on the face of this earth that are being rewarded openly by God, men and women of God who are being rewarded openly, everybody's seeing that the hand of God is upon their lives. I guarantee you they want it in the secret place. They want it in those times alone where they're spending with the lover of their souls. There's a call to the secret place. You see, the Father who is in the secret place, he hears in the secret place. He sees in the secret place. The secret place is a place of safety. The secret place is a place of rest for our hearts. The secret place is where you and I, we were designed to live in that place. So I believe there's a seat open at the Father's table with your name on it. God is waiting for you to come and sit at that table. God is waiting for you to come into that secret place. Shut that door and say, God, I'm here. That's some of the most amazing times. God, it's just you and me. Do you have those times? Do you set that time aside? Verse 42. Jesus speaking. And he says, but one thing is needed. Say one thing. One thing is needed. Imagine that. God the Son saying, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. You see, God is moving all across the earth. He's moving upon the nations. He's wanting to influence. He wants to impact East London like we have never imagined. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. When the believers, when the saints, when the sons and daughters of God come before God in the secret place and we start saying, God, let your kingdom come on this earth. And his kingdom will come. He's waiting. There are these seats set out available with your name on it. God's saying, I'm just waiting for my child to come and to come into the secret place, to come and pray my will into being. I'm waiting. The success of God's kingdom on earth is dependent upon the prayers of the saints. So many of us saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you seeing, why aren't things happening? Why aren't we seeing you move powerfully? God probably answers you, say, well, I'm sort of waiting for you to come into the secret place so we can connect. And then my kingdom can come. My house be a house of prayer, Jesus said. That's the Father's heart, a house of prayer. And so Jesus says, one thing is needed. Let's say it again, one thing. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, people can take things away from us. Life can happen and things can be removed from us. But there's one thing that can never be removed from you, and God will not remove it from you. Your intimacy with Him. That secret place. That's where life happens. One thing is needed, and it's found in one place, in the secret place. Martha, one thing is needed to sort out your distraction and to in your heart and to deal with the worry and the troubles that you experience and to heal you from all the trouble in your heart. Step into the secret place and you will find peace for your soul. But I believe Jesus is saying more than just for yourself, for peace and sorting out your worry and your trouble. One thing is needed to see our schools transformed for Jesus. One thing is needed to see our families turned around where we experience the presence and the power of God. Just again this past week, Sonic and I were just last night again, Friday night, we just let's go worship. We go worship for an hour, hour and a half and have communion at the end. And you can feel things shift. We have together now entered the secret place of God. We have nothing to offer this world if we don't live from the secret place. We have nothing to offer this world. I have a dream of a church of believers that live from the secret place, from the place of intimacy with God, from the place of agreement with God, saying, Father, let your kingdom come. And we see the kingdom come. Wherever I go, I experience this. God is saying to me, there is so much more. There is so much more. There is so much more. Let's go for the secret place. Let's go for the secret place. To light revival fires, to turn lives around. If you want a powerfully effective life, this is needed. One thing. This is needed. One thing. The secret place. The secret place. You can't do for God until you've come to God. The secret place. Stop the busyness. Stop the distractions. Put those things aside. Banning Liebscher from Jesus Culture says this. The most strategic thing you can do with your life. Some of our business people think, what's the most strategic thing I can do with my life? I must invest there in these shares and I must buy this property and I must get these employees, and if you want to hear the voice of God, this is the voice of God saying, no, if you, the most strategic thing you can do with your life, separate yourself to the secret place of prayer. Encounter the living God. Hear His voice. Receive His word. As you sit at His feet, that word will define you. It will burn on the inside of you. It will give you the faith to transform your environment. It will give you the faith to rise up and be the man or woman God has destined you to be. But you must do this one thing. You must find yourself in the secret place. You see, in corporate gatherings, when we worship together, and this, you get different things. You get lots of, it's powerful when we pray together, worship together, as we're going to do this weekend. But there's some things you can only get in the secret place. You alone with God. You alone with Jesus. You alone, when you close that door, you quieten your soul and you say, God, here I am. I need you. God, this world needs you. This world needs you. This world needs you. And so here I am. Let's go into the secret place. Let's go into that inner room. Let's be strategic. See, God can do for you in the secret place what you cannot do for yourself through 20 years of hard work. He can do for you in a moment. He can download things. He can speak to you. He can change you. East London is waiting for the believers to enter the secret place. That's what they need. That's what the city and this region needs. I believe God wants to impact this city and this region through this church. And we're on our way. I can see the shift in people's lives and hearts just over the last year. I can see so many of us, the faith starting to light up on the inside of us, the expectation. God is doing amazing thing in us. I'm saying, let's go more. Let's go further. Let's step into that secret place. And so verse 42 again, it says, but one thing is needed. Say one thing. You're going to get it. And Mary has chosen that good part. Let's say chosen. You see, she chose. She chose. Jesus was in the house. She was praying, maybe I should help my sister. Maybe I should go do some stuff. She said, nah, I want to sit at Jesus' feet. She chose. You're always going to have to choose. Do you realize that? There's always going to be something else that you could do, even good things. But you have to choose. The most important thing, you have to decide, I am going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to change something. You see, to say yes to God, you have to say no to a whole lot of other stuff. Do you realize that? To say yes to God, you have to say no to a whole lot of other stuff. I have to say no to a lot of stuff every day of my life. If Facebook is bugging you, put it off. Whatever is distracting you, I can feel the conviction hit right now. Yes. If you're deciding, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Ah, Facebook. And you sit in there for another 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, or 10 minutes every 20 minutes. Where's your heart going to? You say, what am I going to do with myself? Ah, Facebook. Or what? Where does your heart go to? You're standing at the post office, you're standing in the queue, and you're thinking, ah, oh, there's a long queue. What am I going to do? Facebook. Or promises of God on your phone, and you meditate on a promise of God or a scripture. You turn your heart to God. You have a secret place moment right there in the queue. Ooh, this is good. Happy, happy. Everybody else is freaking out and getting angry. You happy. You in your heart, you're in that secret place. You're sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're having time with God. Every moment of the day, you have an opportunity to either turn your heart to God or turn your heart away from God. To say yes to God, you have to say no to a lot of other stuff. Whether it be Facebook, whether it be hobbies, sports, studies, extra job offers, but it will cost you. Social gatherings. How about this? Someone says, oh, we're having a social. You're saying, nope, sorry, I have another appointment in the secret place. It's been a hectic week. I haven't had any time with the Lord. Friday night saying, man, you guys enjoy it. I've got something else to do. I remember when I was at hostel at university. I remember when I turned to the Lord, the guys, there was a certain evenings that would be big. Everybody would be going big with the socials. There was dancing in the underwear on the tables. It was wild. Oversharing, yes. That wasn't me. But I remember this moment that we're in a certain hallway. And I remember walking down the hallway, all the guys were there and they were having their beer and they were going wild. And I didn't know. Walked out, 10 o'clock at night, went to walk. Just me, God. And those moments you can sometimes feel that's lonely. You feel, oh, poor me. Now I realize it's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest honor to say no to a bunch of rubbish. To go and spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because I know that time with God, there's a reward I will receive. Other people will receive a reward because of my time with God. They will encounter God because I said no to the rubbish and I said yes to Jesus. What are you saying? Are you saying yes to the rubbish? Even nice distractions. But you're missing it. You're missing out. Saying, no, I have another engagement. Choose. Mary chose. You can choose. You can decide. You have the ability to say yes to God. And don't make excuses. It's not going to stand up on Judgment Day one day when you have to give an account for your life. And say, God, it was so hard. He's going to say, I gave you everything. I gave you all the provision. I gave you my spirit. I gave you everything you needed. I gave you the ability to choose. Choose. Let's say that. Choose. 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 So blessed with our life group and the testimonies. I hope Tanya doesn't mind. I'm going to share about her. I think she ran the Comrades a year or two ago, and she was very serious with the training. And so every morning she'd be up for an hour or two going to jogging. And then she felt God spoke to her and said, leave that aside, leave that and spend it with me. And so she left the training, and now in the morning she's spending it with God. And we can see the change in her life. We can see she's a different person because now she's living in the secret place, from the secret place, and it's transforming her life. What are you choosing? What are you choosing? Choose the secret place so that your life can truly mean something. What is the most important meeting of your day or your year? The teachers would say, when the headmaster calls me in, big meeting. So you're there. Some other guys would say, no, the CEO of the company, when he phones in or mails me, I'd like to see you. I have good news for you. Woo, okay, this is raise time or something. This is good. What is the biggest meeting of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year? I want to put it to you that secret place. Secret place. Now, I sounded like the guy on that court thing, eh? I want to put it to you. Arma Oscar. The most important meeting of the day, of the week, of the month, of your year is in the secret place. And the Father is there with a reward. A greater reward than your headmaster can give you or your CEO can give you. It's more important, ladies, than your time with your husband. That secret place. Do you know why? Because it's not fun to spend time with a woman that doesn't spend time with Jesus. Other way around as well. If I haven't spent time with Jesus, it's not, Sonica doesn't want to spend time with me. I'm a horrible person. I have nothing to offer. Sometimes I must just tell her, I must go pray. I must go find peace for my soul. if you don't have peace, you've got nothing to offer. But we so want that relational, to spend time with our spouse, that's so important to us. But you're doing your spouse harm if you don't spend it first with Jesus. Or is it just me and Sonica that's human? You guys don't have issues, huh? Always patient, always kind. Always got more love to give. No, we know you fight as well. You fight as well. Most important meeting of the day, you need to spend it with Jesus. You must choose. There are other things you can do. Ladies, with the child, you'd say it's important to take your child for an inoculation. Otherwise, they could become sick and die. It's more important for us to spend time with Jesus. If we love our kids, we do it. We go for it. Sometimes we have to step away from something or even someone so that we can spend time with the Lord. I really want to encourage you. On Friday night, Sonic and I were worshiping. And as we were worshiping, I just felt this word. I felt God drop into my heart. I felt God saying, stop selling your hearts. Stop selling your hearts. I saw a vision of people bowing before shrines. You know, like good old days, bowing before shrines. Then I saw someone in the living room bowing before the TV. Then I saw the garage, and I saw someone bowing before their car. And then I saw a picture of driving past houses with the gardens in front of the lawns. I saw people on the lawns kneeling and bowing, worshiping their homes. Selling their hearts. You see, it's fine to have a house, a car, have a TV, all those things, but it's not supposed to have our hearts. It's not supposed to be, if you think, what am I going to do myself up, TV? What am I going to do myself? Oh, dream about my car, house. Oh, this house. Put my faith in the house. Put my faith in property. I feel God is saying, stop selling your heart. Stop selling your heart. You can have all those things, but don't let it have your heart. Lay those things down. We are called to possess all things, called to reign and rule with Christ, but to be possessed by none. Nothing may possess our hearts except the Most High God. A.W. Tozer, I'm going to read a quote from him. He says, the man who has God, I think it's there, if you go down. The man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. Many ordinary treasures may be denied him, or if he is allowed to have them, the enjoyment of them will be so tempered that they will never be necessary for his happiness. Or if he must see them go one after one, he will scarcely feel a sense of loss. For having the source of all things, he has in one all satisfaction, all pleasure, all delight. Whatever he may lose, he has actually lost nothing, for he now has it all in one. And he has it purely, legitimately, and forever. That's so powerful. He has it purely, legitimately, forever, for he now has it all in one. That's what Jesus said to Martha. Mary has chosen the good part. It will not be taken away from her. You see, God cannot be taken away from us. When he is our everything, when we are possessed by him and him alone, then the other things are just not that important. And then we can say, no, 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 yes, Jesus, yes. I believe it's the precursor to a true revival where people in their hearts have a revival where they say, Jesus, you are more important to me than house and money and all those things. It's you. It's only you that satisfy. And so I say yes to you. I deal with my divided heart. I lay these things down. Unite my heart, Lord, that I might fear your name. Every moment is an opportunity to either draw closer to God or to step away. Every moment of your day is an opportunity to step closer to God or to step away. So we're going to have communion in a moment. And I believe there's a call to prayer. There's an invitation that God is saying, you want to see revival? You want to see my kingdom come? I remember when we were in India and we saw this powerful miracle. God spoke to my heart and said, you ain't seen nothing yet. But you need to choose to make him number one and put that time in the secret place with him. So fasting is a great way to deal with distractions. So good news, we have a fast coming up this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to worship Friday evening, Saturday morning. I want to encourage you. Set that time aside. Join us. I think sometimes we don't know how to pray. Many of us don't know how to pray. Do you know how you learn? You learn by coming to corporate prayer meetings. Like our Ignites, Thursday evenings, we come together. You learn how to pray there. It ignites something on the inside of you. There's a reward that God wants to share with us. So the ushers can bring the communion elements for us. I'm going to read this verse, Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 4. This is just the next verses. This is the most well-known, one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. Which he said, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Psalm 86, verse 11. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Bring singleness of heart. That's the unite. Give me singleness of heart that I may glorify your name.